What up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWC Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I'm here with Mildewy Carrot, and it's the nine ball. That is on repeat. Let me stop that. There we go. Okay, and we are welcoming here for episode 36 of season 2, 2022, October 11th. How are you guys doing today? I want to start off with Mildewy Carrot, man. How are you doing today?
Meh.
Just meh? Elaborate, please.
Meh.
What's going on today?
What's said? Yeah, what's going on?
Meh. Today that means the end. Pretty sure everyone's had one of those.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. It's the nine ball in my other corner right over here. How are you doing today, good sir?
Ooh, I'm doing great.
Like Tony the Tiger?
Probably better. Oh my god, it's been doing so well today. I mean, I've been doing pretty good. I mean, we had a good day at work. It wasn't too stressful. I didn't get much sleep, though, last night.
Mm-hmm.
I took a nap, and I shouldn't do that. If I take a nap, I can't sleep at night. I got to be careful about doing that. Outside of that, the day went really well, and I mean, it was a very fun day. It wasn't bad at all. I enjoyed it.
That's what's up. A couple interesting things. One for me, like middle of last week, like on Tuesday, or not Tuesday, but Wednesday, going inside like Thursday, I was starting to get a little sickish, and I was really hoping I wasn't going to, because a little backstory to that, rewinding to my son's birthday. One of my buddies that I've known forever, he was trying to come on out to his my son's birthday party and just hang out, be able to have some food, have a good time, wish him happy birthday. The day of, he was just like, hey, I'm not able to come on out because I mean, my wife has COVID, unfortunately, and she's pregnant on top of that.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so he was just like, yeah, I wish I could be there, but I can't. I was like, there's no worries. I mean, I understand. Take care of your family. Get better. And we'll make something happen. Fast forwarding to a couple weeks ago, we've been planning this for a couple months now, actually, that we were going to have a guy's night, just go have some ribs, some hot dogs, some whatever, like just watch the game, have a good time on Saturday. And then Wednesday happens, I start feeling the tickle in my throat. And I was like, no. This could not be happening to me. And on top of that, I had a small fear of it because my son in general was sick on last Sunday. And he was coughing real bad and all that. And I was just like, I hope he gets over this. But again, kids at that age, they tend to get sick a lot for whatever reason. So, I think I started feeling tickle myself on Wednesday. And I was like, all right, as long as it's this, I'm good. Thursday happened. We did our stream, which was fine, but I still felt like congested. And I was just like, okay, this is not good. Then Friday happens and it starts hitting me with the headaches and felt groggy and all that. And I was like, no, please don't. And I was just like, I got to try to get better. So like the minute I got off work on Friday, I went to sleep almost the entire day just trying to get better so I can go attend on Saturday. Woke up Saturday morning and I was just like absolute trash. And I called him. I was like, bro, you're not going to believe this. And so, yeah. So I ended up having to miss that out. But he was generous enough to bring me a plate still and all that. And he also got Malachi his birthday gifts, and Malachi loves it. So definitely some good stuff there. And then I felt so much better like Sunday morning-ish to the evening, and then Sunday night I just felt extremely sick again, not physically but mentally, because the Bengals took me through it. So that kind of was not really fun.
Sorry.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. But then fast forward it, like right now, like I'm good. I just like I still feel like I need to be flushed entirely. Like I'm saying the next day or two I'll be 100% again. But it is one of those things where I'm just like, of all the times for me to be sick. I don't get sick often. Like, headaches, yes, but me being, like, sick, I don't get sick often. And for me to have that right around the time period where we've been planning this for, like, at least 2 months, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. So I say all that to say, be careful out there, guys. I mean, COVID is still very real. The flu is still going around. Make sure you guys are washing your hands, sanitizing. If you can, wear your mask. I mean, I know you don't have to, but it's encouraged. Some people argue that it doesn't do anything, but neither does wearing nothing. You know what I mean? At least
it ain't going to hurt you to put on a mask.
Yeah, I mean, again, you have people in the hospital doing it all the time. You have literally people in Japan and China, they just walk around like that already when they have like a small little cold or whatever, or if they're germophobics. They're already walking around with face masks anyway, so they've been doing – they're not new to this. They've been doing this for a while, so it's just what – at least for what we can see in the media, just like here in America is where we have the issue. So it doesn't hurt anything. You'll be fine. That's my little public service announcement, if you will. But on a side note, on a more fun note, so as I was in bed sick all like Saturdays going to Sunday – I saw a commercial. It was a Wendy's commercial, right? And it was featuring, I guess, Reggie Bush's favorite sandwich, which is like the pretzel sandwich. Mm-hmm. So I had that for the first time today. And let me tell you, it was tasty. It was different. Like, I would definitely buy another one. But yeah, it was quite tasty. It was like the pretzel sandwich. I don't know what all comes out. I know it has like beer cheese or whatever, had bacon. Yeah, it was a tasty little sandwich. So if you guys, and it's a limited time offer. So if you guys are wanting to try it out just to see what the hype is about, definitely go on over to Wendy's, grab yourself one. It's like $5, $6 max. But yeah, it was delicious. I was thoroughly impressed. And then, two little quick anime quips right there I have for you guys. That one, I know we were talking inside the chat here, Mildewy, a little bit. I finished High School of the Dead. So that is one that I finished it, and I do hope that a producer ends up picking it up because I would like to see more of it. However, with that being said, there were definitely some plot holes that I wish were a little bit fleshed out. So I almost want to say, if anyone picks it up, I almost would want to have a remake of the first season and fill in those areas that were kind of lackluster.
The manga definitely goes a lot more into the story.
Even for season one?
At least I feel like I enjoyed the manga. The manga is actually what I read first before they even came with the anime. So.
Okay. So, yeah. So I
don't remember where the anime cuts off again. So
it cuts off after they get to, and spoiler alert for anybody that is planning on watching this. I mean, it's not really a spoiler alert because it's been out for, 11 years at this point? Maybe even longer. Like, I think it came out in 2011, 2007, 2011, something like that. But yeah, it's been out for over 11 years, so you guys had time to watch it. But just to be considerate, it came out a while ago, but it cuts off after you get to Saya's parents' house. So the super genius, all that good stuff. They get to their house. The zombies invade that area. And the main character, Rei, Sayu, all them, they're escaping again inside the Hummer. And then they're sitting outside like a grocery market or something like that. And it just like cuts there. So it's not exactly like a cliffhanger, but that definitely was intended to be more. You can see that there was going to be definitely a lot more that they could have added on to that. And then on top of that, aside from that, that's the canon series. They do have one OVA that's out there. And I watched that. And that OVA is showing them, I guess they end up like leaving that area, get like a boat, and they're trying to go like far overseas, but get tired and go land on like a deserted island. They get on the island, but at that point, the minute they get on the island, I don't think it's anything story related. It's just straight up fan service. I mean, if anyone was no stranger to High School of the Dead, there's a lot of jiggle factors in there, a lot of male service and male fan service. Yeah, it's anime, but there's some people that like there's anime that's like there, but then there's anime that's there. You know what I mean?
And yeah, that's, high school of the dead is there. There.
Yeah, think of high school DD D times D.
Yeah, yeah, they're right up there with high school DxC, and I would even give the edge even more to high school DxC, honestly. Mainly because
a lot of it's got more of the edge to them because of what they deal with. I think the zombie one, they tried to make it, you know, tried to give you that little fan service, but they're like, it's still serious, guys, you know.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, there's definitely physics inside their boobs that just does not make actual sense in the human world. But yeah, that's a great.
Totally unrealistic.
Yeah, it's definitely a great little show. Like, I definitely enjoyed my time watching the whole thing. I just wish that there's some, like, there's one area, like, one of the things I'm specifically talking about is, like, Ray, which is the girl, like, the one, like, Bay is probably would say inside the show, whatever, like that. She, like, she sees this teacher that's trying to get on the bus, and she just, like, no, don't let him on here. Like, he could die for all I care. It's just like, what the heck did this guy do to you? Like I'm curious about that backstory. And then fast forwarding to the end of season one, you kind of get that backstory. But the reasoning for that backstory does not really match up with her wanting to have him just be dead. Like this, it's so crazy. So it's just like, I don't know if that was a writing perspective or if there's just a lot of stuff left out. Because the way that the energy that like she's... The energy that she's giving you when you're finding out that she does not like this person is almost as if she got raped by this guy. That's the energy that's giving you. But then fast forwarding it at the end, again, spoiler, you end up finding out that his dad had told him to hold her back a grade, and that had disappointed her dad. And to get back at her dad or something like that, and that kind of like broke her dad.
Is that really the reason? Like, you really think school matters now?
Well, I'm just saying. No, well, it's not obviously school doesn't matter now, but they're saying that this has all happened pre zombie apocalypse, and that had that vendetta for her against him. And I was like, that's the reason? Like, you want him dead is because he held you back?
I'm like, at this point, you really think it matters at this point that you got held back?
But I can understand if she was just saying, it doesn't matter now, obviously, but it's the principle about it. But even with that, I was just like, that's the reason why you want him dead is because he held you back a grade? Like that's the reason? So, I don't know. I feel like that And again, like
I'm gonna need to watch this anime fully through because, like I said, I have only watched a couple episodes, but
yeah, I have to.
I think there's something different than what they did in the manga,
and that's why I'm like very rarely do I ever watch an anime, and I have to go back to read the manga to see how it was different in that same season. Normally, if I watch the anime and it's so good that I want to read the manga, it's because I want to see what happens next. It's a continuation, but the way that this was. Like, as good as it was, again, I give credit for everything that was happening here, and I really appreciate how they were kind of developing the characters. And there's also another side note I want to throw out there, too, in a second. But as good as this was, that was one of the plot holes I'm talking about, where I'm like, I think there has to be more than that. I think there's more than that than what the anime had shown me, because if that really is the reason, that is the most pettiest reason of all reasons I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, that, it was just ridiculous. But... yeah, that's why I'm like kind of encouraged to go back and read the manga and see exactly how far it goes and where it officially ends with the manga. But I do want someone to pick that up. The other thing I do appreciate too, and another reason why I kind of want them to bring this back is because this is definitely like the Walking Dead of anime. The thing that I like about it though is that they have a small group. They have a small group, and all of them are still alive at this point. I don't like. If they decide to have this entire series go and all of them survive, maybe some of them flirt with death or whatever, but if they all survive, I actually would enjoy that because I like all the characters in here. And on top of that, it would be different than the normal that we normally get, which is like you have a group of lovable characters, they're going through a zombie apocalypse, and then someone dies. Then another person joins the group, and then someone else that you did not expect to die dies and whatever. Like you see that in Walking Dead, you see that in all these other zombie shows. And I would like to have something that will break up that monotony a little bit and just actually have something be original. So that was my take for that. So I would recommend anybody to go watch High School of the Dead if that's something that you guys are into. But you might want to, and I don't say this a lot, you might want to consider reading the manga first, simply because I did feel like there were some holes missing when I was watching it. And some of the relationship stuff was actually very interesting too as well. And then the other side note that I'll say before we jump aside all the stories and all that good stuff. Today, happy Chainsaw Man Day. So I'm going to end up. That launched today. I started watching a little bit of it, and then I had to stop so I can get prepared for today's show and all that good stuff. But yes, I'm going in there with like everyone I know is hyping it up to the max. I have no idea.
What is that about?
Well, me and Ohio were talking a little bit, and I kind of wish that I didn't know what it was about before I started watching it, because the on paper, the description of it is really freaking weird. Do you, after me saying that, do you want me to tell you what it's about?
Yeah, just give me like a brief overview of it.
All right, and I'll say this one more time. Are you sure? Because after I was told of what it was and I heard it, I wish I did not know. So are you sure you want me to tell you the synopsis? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you verbatim what the synopsis is. All right. I'm going straight to the page that has listed on Crunchyroll. And here we go. So bam. All right. Here we go. So it is Denji is a young boy who works as a devil hunter with the chainsaw devil Pochita. One day, he was living his miserable life trying to pay off debt he inherited from his parents. He got betrayed and killed. As he was losing his consciousness, he made a deal with Pochita and got resurrected as the Chainsaw Man, the owner of the Devil's Heart. And that is it.
Okay.
So, again, hearing that, I was like, that is so freaking weird. Like, I wish I just went in there
blind. In some ways, some things like that. Actually, I believe Cuphead has a similar one where they made a deal with the devil to come back, but they had to capture certain creatures. That's what this backstory of Cuphead was.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have stories like that, because even Black Butler, that's also like that too. So, like, you have animes out there that's like that, but, like, again, like, seeing the essence of how this was, kind of comparing what we just read to the trailer that I saw, and then how weird it can get. And even for the first couple of seconds of what I did see, I was like, this is going to be a weird anime. I don't know if I'm going to like this. But I don't know if I would have that particular like notion if I didn't know beforehand of what the anime, like the what the description of the anime was going to be. Literally just silence just says, that sounds ridiculous and I'm all for it. Like this is that. This anime sounds absolutely ridiculous. I know that, and I know it's on high standards with a lot of people. I just have no idea what Chainsaw Man is about, and I'll give it a shot and see if I like it. But I just don't know if it's one of those things where I just feels like it's overhyped, or if it's something that is really lives up to that expectation. I'm just kind of going in day in and day out, or every week, to see if I can make my own opinion about it and see if I like it or not. But by description, it definitely does not sound like my cup of tea, but I'm going to give it a shot.
All right, got my plate full currently. Still watching Archive 81.
Oh,
and it just got weird. And I watched a new Hellraiser.
I did hear about Hellraiser. Yeah, I did hear about Hellraiser, actually. Yeah. And one thing I do want to throw out there, too, as well, which I also almost forgot to mention. On Monday, Bleach returned, 1,000-Year Blood Arc.
I did see that when I powered up the Hulu. They had that like front page.
So I watched it, and I love the animation. I love how the action in there and how these characters are designed. I'm loving all of that. I'm not sure if I'm loving how the 1,000-Year Blood Arc started. It feels very abrupt, and this is coming off of somebody that watched the full season literally recently.
He binged it, guys.
You said what?
I said you binged it.
Yeah, I literally binged it from beginning to end so I can get ready for this. By the way,
you have my respect. Because how many episodes was that? 400 episodes?
It's like, now here's the thing. Now, I appreciate the respect there. But, full disclosure, It is about 400 episodes, like 430 episodes, something like that, 300 something like that episodes. But a good chunk of them, is actually filler. So, yes, it is.
You made it. I mean, what did you, like, lock yourself up for, like, a whole day? Just nobody come in here. Nobody. Stay outside. Stay where it's safe.
Yeah, no.
They're gonna be gone for a couple days.
I definitely checked it out. Like, I definitely wanted to check it out because I've always admired Bleach, especially when I got through the first part of the story and got to the Soul Society. When I got to the anime aura switched entirely on me. It was like a Hunter x Hunter situation because the Hunter x Hunter for me got really, really good. It was getting interesting, and then started to progressively get better. But it got amazing when it got to the Chimera arc. The Chimera Ant arc. That when it got to that point, I was like, oh my goodness, this is something crazy. That's what Bleach did for me, and I wanted to continue on with it. I just never found the time to do it. But then when I found out about Thousand Year Blood arc was happening, I was like, all right, I got to commit. I want to go ahead and get it all the way through and get caught up so I can get caught up on the Thousand Year Blood arc. And now I'm up to date with that anime-wise. I know manga, it's finished, but anime-wise, I'm caught up to that. The thing, though, is that I just came off of Bleach. Like, I just finished it in time to watch this, like, a week and a half ago. And It is one of those things where I'm just like, I'm just coming off of it, and it feels like it's starting abrupt. Like, I feel like they could have eased into it a little bit more than what they did. So, very interesting stuff. But other than that, everything else seems really great about it so far. Like, I'm digging the direction that it's heading, aside from that little how it started. So, yeah. Liturgy of Silence says, 5-second pitch. What if we gave a storyline of Death Note to a den of crackheads and told them to build on it? Yeah.
Wait, isn't
that... Well, you got the Netflix edition.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like we're going to get the Netflix edition, you know, after they smoked about a pint of weed, a pint of whatever, and then watched Evangelion. You know?
Yeah, they all that opium. They all that opium.
God, story that was so bad.
Number... Well, actually, before we jump to story number one, because we have time, I guess it's not a huge story day. I do want to throw out there the Fantasy Gaming League of what we currently have.
No, don't go there.
Yeah, right. I got to. You're in first place once again. What's going on, Mildew? What do you know that we don't know? You know, and so with that being said, I'm going to have to throw out there, Mildew Akira has 85 points on the Fantasy Gaming League. He has Gran Turismo 7, 17 points, Tunic, 15 points, Splatoon 3, 13 points, Stray, 14 points, Salt and Sacrifice, 5 points, Advance Wars 1+2, Reboot Camp pending, Return to Monkey Island, 16 points, and he has a game he can pick up. And then he has Chocobo GP, which is a counter pick, and got him 5 points. In second place is Moga Miko, how great again. Needs to jump in there, try to get some games so he can retain his first place. Honestly, I don't know if he can get first place anymore.
Who, Moga?
Yeah, I don't know if he can because, like obviously he can pick up a game, but when you look at it, what games are going to be coming out that's going to put him above Salt and Sack?
I wouldn't Advanced say Warfare's? That. Let me see what's upcoming here.
It's going to be...
Maybe.
I actually got to log in and try and get one more game in.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, you guys might want to try to get those because we have 2 months before the year is over. There's not a ton of games that's coming out. Like, the two games that's coming out at the end of the year that I can think of right now that's huge, God of War Ragnarok, which is on Renzokuken's list, and then what else is coming out right around then? There's another game. Callisto Protocol. That's coming out around then. And then there's a third game, but it's not as big.
He just missed Metal Hellsinger. New Tales of the Borderlands.
Okay, yeah.
Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah, and real fast, literally just silently says tons of lag. That was sent during the Chainsaw Talks. Yeah, we figured as much. That's what you're talking about. But right now we're on the Fantasy Gaming League discussion, and so there's Sonic Frontiers comes out next year. I don't think that comes out this year.
They still got it on here for this year.
Let me take a look. I could be wrong about that, but I don't. Let me see here. Sonic Frontiers.
That's just 11/20, November 8th, 2022.
They are committing to it. When does God of War Ragnarok come out?
That comes out this year as well.
Yeah, but ooh, oh, I feel so bad for Sonic Frontiers. Sonic Frontiers comes out on the 8th. Guess when God of War Ragnarok comes out?
That's fine.
The 9th. The 9th.
That's okay. A lot of people that are probably going to be playing Sonic Frontiers won't be playing God of War. My nephew is probably going to have Sonic Frontiers. He's like 8.
Does anyone have Sonic Frontiers on their fantasy league?
It's Sonic. I don't take a chance on Sonic.
Hey, you never know. It could blow us away. It could. I know
you could get blown away.
You could. In second place has Make Ohio Great Again, a.k.a. Ohio. He has Elden Ring with 31 points. Pokemon Legends Arceus, depending on how you pronounce it, 14 points. Sifu, 10 points. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, 12 points. Marvel's Midnight Suns, pending. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, 17 points. He has 2 open spots and the counterpick of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. In third place is Zaka Corp with Tiny Tina's Wonderland, 8 points. Saints Row, negative 7 points. Total War, Warhammer 3, 16 points. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, 18 points. Warhammer 40k Dark Tide, pending. Scorn, pending. Live Alive, 11 points. Star Ocean, The Divine Force, pending. It's the kind of pick of Marvel's Midnight Suns. Fourth place is me with AOWT Gaming. Have Horizon Forbidden West, 18 points. Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, 7 points. Gotham Knights, pending. Kingdom of Fighters, 15, 10 points. Mario Strikers Battle League, 3 points. Callisto Protocol, pending. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, pending. Bayonetta 3, I know. Nine Ball, I know I'm going to lose some points on that. But you never know. Maybe it'll be bad. You never know.
Wait a minute. We're gonna hit that in the stories here.
Okay.
Yeah, remember. So maybe something might come of this.
We'll see. Yeah, we were talking about a little bit of that today in the fun ones. Since to be fair, they are not competing in any way with one another. And you're correct, but at the same time, even when it comes down to, and he's talking about the God of War and Sonic, obviously. But you are correct about that. But if you only have $60, $70 and you could get one game, and you had to choose between the two, it's likely that individual is probably going to choose God of War Ragnarok. Obviously, you could say, depends on his taste. He might like Sonic more. Obviously, that would be the case there. But I would say the general consensus of that would be, God of War Ragnarok, I would say, video game-wise, has more popularity than Sonic does in today's age.
Yeah, you know that's true.
In today's age. Not overall. Overall, Sonic's been there since Sega. Literally Sega, all that. But today's age, I think God of War Ragnarok is what people are going to be eyeing for and can't wait for that to come out. That was fourth place. In fifth place is Renzo Kukin, has God of War Ragnarok pending. Triangle Strategy, 13 points. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, 0. Jokobo GP, negative 5. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, 15 points. Metroid Prime 4, pending. Digimon Survive, 6 points. I still want to check that out. I still
is
check
Silent
out,
still in chat? Silent?
I believe so.
I'm going to be honest. Just take Metroid Prime 4 off.
but here's the thing. Replace it with what?
Something. Something better. You want to at least gain a point. Metroid Prime is it's not coming out.
You never know. Nintendo might drop the little, hey, by the way, Video Game Awards, it's coming out and it's available now. Digimon Survive got 6 points. Slime Rancher 2 is not coming out this year. He has a counter pick of Diablo Immortal, which got him 5 points. He's sitting at 34. And currently, reserving last place right now is Illuminous Living with Dying Light 2, 6 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, 2 points. I think that went up a point. I think it was at 1 point up before, and it went up a point. That makes me a little happy. Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, negative 5 points. Shovel Knight Digs, 12 points. Pokemon Legend, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, pending. He has an open spot and has a counter pick of Saints Row, which got him 7 points. I'm curious about, I want to play Saints Row to see what happened. Because I thought that was going to be something that was going to be a nice little reboot for them. So, a man can ho-oh, I'm aware. Oh, that's I get what Silent did there. I see what he did there.
Oh.
Buddy. But yeah, so that's our gaming league currently right now. But enough about that. That's going on sort number one. And we call this one the fake Zelda. Well, actually, last week I saw it, and I actually spoke with Silent inside the chat about this briefly. But we're going to talk a little bit more about it today. CC Zhang from Kotaku said this in their article. Convincing fakes have been a menace since at least the event of photography. So what's shocking about the set of the AI-generated Zelda poster that are making the rounds on social media is the number of people who decided that they are real. As of writing, these fake images are supposed of the supposed Netflix-produced Zelda movie have garnered almost 30,000 shares, many of them from people who seemingly take them as real. Come on, folks. The original post by the creator Dan Leviel said that they're all fakes. I say this, but it's so easy to see how people would have been fooled. Leviel picked some major A-list actors like Tom Holland, Emma Watson, and Idris Elba. Their faces are well known, so well known that they help sell the fantasy, even if you don't have any context for whether a movie is in production at all. And when fans want something to be true badly enough, they're probably not thinking too hard before hitting the share button. But seriously, y'all, Leviel says in his third line, JK, made with Midjourney, well, hashtag Midjourney, in painting with hashtag Dial, and some facial correction using Tencent Art and a bunch of other Photoshop tools. So, and that ends the story right there. So I do want to ask you guys, obviously we know this is fake, but did you guys see the pictures, all the pictures that was like kind of shown out there for the Zelda movie?
Saw the one where the one guy with the tinkle hat, and that was it.
Okay, so yeah.
I had some friends that were actually like harping about that on one of my other Discords. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, really?
I'm gonna share the image on here for a second. So what my thoughts to you guys, my question to you guys, I feel like I have a good idea of what your thoughts would be about a Zelda movie adaptation or anything like that, but for the general public, what do you guys think about if this was real? What would you guys have thought about this? And the selection that they currently have for actors and actresses.
I would been.
Let me see, because I didn't really
wondering see when the Lord of the Rings, why they're making the Lord of the Rings remake. You know,
I'm bringing it up right now for you there, Nineball.
Emma Watson, Tom Holland, and Idris Elba.
Oh.
What would they play as? I mean, Emma Watson would probably be Zelda.
Yeah.
Tom Holland probably Link, and Idris Elba probably Ganondorf.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. So I'm actually pulling it up right now, so that way you can see exactly how this is full cast. Bam. Okay, and then transitioning on over. So if you guys look on here, you probably can't see it that well with the Tom Holland one. I'll just bring that over again. Okay, so. We have, again, Tom Holland as Zelda. You have that there. You have Emma Watson as, Tom Holland as Link. Emma Watson as Zelda. You have Idris Elba as Ganondorf. There's also a couple others that I didn't see before. Was this Maisie Williams as Saria? Sadie Sink as Mulan. Jamila Jamil as Urbosa. Danny DeVito as Tingle.
Yep, that's the one that my friends were showing.
Trolling.
That is funny. That is funny. But yeah, they have a full, like, again, this is the full cast of what was rumored on this thing. So again, looking at this, like, what if this were to be the actual cast? If this were to be real, what were you guys' thoughts have been about this?
I would have to see more. I mean. I know I'm negative, but come on. I'm post cyberpunk. I'm post a lot of things. So right now, when that happens, my suspicion level goes up to 20 on anything. They had a cartoon a long time ago on Zelda, and it sucked. And I don't know how they would do it And I mean, maybe they could do like the Super Mario Brothers movie, but it's just, I don't know why you would really need one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's, I mean, it's not a bad concept, I guess. Again, it's real familiar with franchise. It's just, I don't really know why you would have a movie and for that one. Well, it's fine as is. Oh, go on ahead. Go on ahead.
Well, I mean, honestly, the reason why I think that the reason you would have it, and you, like you said, it's fine as that as is, you already have the video game community. You already have them in lock. They already know that they have this amazing, great product in Zelda. The Zelda franchise, if you will. How can you expand even more on that? You start grabbing the attention of people that may not have been dabbled in video games as much and get them embedded in that universe. And how they end up being able to get embedded in that universe through social media, through YouTube, through movies and TV shows and stuff. So that's how you can kind of get them there and maybe even make a video game out of them through those platforms. So I get it. I definitely get it. But I also get what you're saying too, as well, as far as like, it's already big enough. Do you really need this? But yeah, I mean, I'm on both sides of it. I just think that this particular scenario is for the diehards and for the people that might be interested in entering the franchise versus the people that's already like there. Like, I don't think it's for us, I would say.
No, it's definitely not for us.
If anything, I would say, honestly, believe it or not, I would say that if this were to exist, this would probably be more for me, because I don't know a ton about Zelda already. My knowledge of Zelda is, like, obviously the main character is not Zelda, that's Link. So that's one. But then two, like, I know a little bit more Ocarina of Time. I wanted to really dive inside Majora's Mask. And then Super Smash Brothers. That's like my most extent when it comes to Zelda. So, Silent inside the chat, on the other hand, he has much more knowledge than I do. In fact, my introduction of Zelda was me being friends with him and kind of seeing that around his, like, him always being one of the jump inside of it and his brothers and stuff like that. So that was my exposure to Zelda. I will go ahead and Mildewy, did you have any commentary on this?
I was kind of just wondering about it. I'm like, I didn't know if it was real or not. I didn't look too deep into it. But I mean, to be completely honest, like, if they were gonna do this, if this is gonna be real and all, like, they got a decent cast by the look of it. I don't know. We just, as we've all said, we kind of had those ups and downs with the, you know, game to movie or game to show or anime to show, you know, like, to the live action aspect. So I'm just kind of curious how they do it, but like I kind of said earlier, like, it gives me that whole, like, you know, it would be like Lord of the Rings feel, but with more like comedy, or I don't know, maybe more high like fantasy types, you know, not like the realistic fantasies, or I don't know why I'm saying realistic fantasies. Oh, good God. Like the fantasy style of like Lord of the Rings and all. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because you've actually got, like, Link's got, you know, magical capabilities. You got the Triforce, you know, they're throwing, like, you know, mainly he uses weapons, but they've got these other aspects and elements in there too. So it's kind of unique and weird, and I would be interested to see what they do with it if this is a real thing, you know. As someone who's played Zelda, you know, her games being Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, current ones with the Breath of the Wilds and all. So it'd be kind of interesting to see what they do. And also, like, which, since they're having Tinkle in there, it kind of sounds like Wind Waker or some one of the other zones. But it'd be interesting to see which story they choose, because there's a lot of stories in Zelda, too.
Yeah, so, I assume that if this was real.
Assuming it's real. You know, I don't know. And people are like, oh, no, this is definitely troll stuff. And like, then I'll believe you. Because to be honest, I'm not the one who kind of goes digging into the TV show genre and all to see what's real and not. You know, mm-hmm. I'm more or less just sit down and watch what's on, you know. So I'm one of those guys.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing I'll say. Well, first and foremost, just for full record, for anyone that's watching right now or listening later on Anchor or anything like that, we know this is not real. Like, the person's page that I'm on right now had confirmed that this is a fake. So that's already proof enough that this is not real. Again, we're talking as if we're in the mind of this was actually real. So if this was the case, I agree with the cast. at least on the top line. I think the bottom line is a little getting a little trollish. The top line I do agree with, except for one individual. And that individual is the person that's playing Link. No, it's Holland.
Is it because he's got a better chin than you?
No. Here's the reason why. I like Tom Holland a lot as Spider-Man. He was a little iffy as Drake for me because I played the game, and then now seeing him play as somebody that easily should have been Tom Cruise or somebody else. I see that he got that role, cool, it worked, but I feel like it could have been better. I feel like there's some actors and actresses that's out there that's just like kind of forced into these random roles versus just being naturally good in everything that they do. And Tom Holland, unfortunately, is one of those actors where I feel like if this was real and they put him as Link, I don't know how good of a Link he'll actually be.
I think, well, the thing about it, Tom Holland, is it's sort of like, remember when they was like shoving Jennifer Lawrence everywhere?
Here's the thing, though. That's one of my examples, but I see more versatility in Jennifer Lawrence than I do in Tom Holland. Like, she does the comedic roles very well. She's done the Hunger Games and stuff like that. Like, she done the dating dramas and everything. Like, she fit in those roles pretty well. And I can see why directors want to use her more. For Tom Holland, like, from Spider-Man, he was easily Spider-Man. For Drake, it's like, is he really Drake? He's funny at some parts. But is he really Drake? Because at some parts of that Uncharted movie, as good as it was, there were parts where I just felt like this is just Tom Holland doing Spider-Man as Drake. That's kind of what it felt at some parts. Now if you throw in this one in here, which I don't know how Link even sounds. I don't even know if Link even talks in any of the games. Like, yeah, is anyone able to confirm that? Like, all the stuff I know is from N64 and Super Nintendo. Which, and all of that during the time period, he made a couple sound effects, like the little, when he's a kid, when he's older.
Yeah, he didn't, I mean, Wind Waker, they didn't speak, they just used the cute sound effects, because that was the aspect of Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight Princess, I don't think they spoke either.
What about Breath of the Wild? Does he speak in Breath of the Wild?
I have not heard him speak yet, as far as I remember.
So, it may be silent. If you're inside the chat, maybe you can confirm if he has any speaking roles in any of the Link video games. I mean, I keep saying Link. Zelda video games. But yeah, like, maybe that's another thing that they'll have to kind of do. Because, like, I don't know how Link sounds, but I don't know however I'm visualizing him sounding. I don't know if Tom Holland is the way to go with that. I definitely see Emma Watson as Zelda. She looks like a perfect Zelda. And the same thing for Idris Elba. Like, he is somebody that impressed me, too, as well, as far as how much range he has. I can see him as Ganondorf, but at the same time, how evil can he be? Normally, when I see Idris Elba, he normally is a good guy, and I think the one time he's, like, semi-bad was when he played Knuckles. But you don't see him, you just hear his voice. So, very interesting stuff. Go ahead.
Well, he played on, what was that, Stephen King, The Dark Tower?
I haven't seen that, so I wouldn't know.
He was the gunman. You don't want to see it as bad. But
I saw it, and I looked at it, and I was like, meh.
I watched it. I was like, oh, it's a Stephen King movie. How bad can it be? Boy, he was on crack that day, too.
You were wrong.
He was back on drugs. I was like, you might want to go to rehab again. God, this is like a mess.
But yeah, no, it was just one of those, like, if this was real, I think that the top cast is actually pretty solid, despite Tom Holland being Link. I think that they could get somebody better. Maybe even a new face altogether. Just get a new rising actor to be Link. Story number two. I called this one Is It True, and I purposely hid it because I wanted to surprise it to the nine ball. Logan Plant from IGN says this in their article. The Silent Hill movie director, Christoph Gaines, may have confirmed that multiple Silent Hill games are indeed in the works, corroborating rumors that have been circulating for some time now. Gaines directed the 2006 Silent Hill film and has previously teased his involvement in a new Silent Hill movie. In a recent French video interview, Gaines spoke about the future of the Silent Hill franchise, and thanks to the translation posted on Reset Era, which IGN separately confirmed to be accurate, Gaines teased what's to come on the video game front. Quote, I'm working with the Silent Hill team, the original creators at Konami. There are several games in development as we speak. There are several teams on it. With big lines of games, they will revive the franchise, end quote, Gaines said. Quote, I think they were really impressed of the success of the remakes of Resident Evil that are evidently exceptional games, end quote, end story. I'm not going to say another single word except Nineball. Speechless.
I want to see if it's real. I keep hearing this. I've heard this like a billion times that they're working on it. I know they're working on it. There's no way you release Silent Hill 3 and 4. What is it, Silent Hill 4? No, I got 3 in the back. There's no reason why you would release Silent Hill 4 on GOG and not bother to do the other ones. How are they going to do part 2? Okay, so the backstory to Silent Hill is interesting. Because apparently Konami lost part of the coding of Silent Hill. They misplaced it.
Coding or story or both? I can't remember, Nineball.
I think it's the coding or something. Because they had to do the rest. They had to kind of wing it at the end of the remakes. That's what people was complaining. Silent Hill actually is one of the best. It's arguably one of the best horror games around. Everybody knows they're working on it. I hope we get an announcement during it, maybe the VGAs or something. And Konami, quit pretending like you're not. let's be real. Let's stop playing it. You are working on it. Well, there's too many stories coming, huh?
I was about to say, I think this is the first time that they confirmed it, though, on this level. Like, this is the director themselves from the movies and stuff.
Oh, the movies. So, the first one was okay. The second one was... how should I put this? Bad. They have the... Well, the problem with movies is basically they have the image down, but they don't understand why it exists. And it's sort of like, you remember, for starters, Silent, if you're still on, I must apologize. Flash, I must apologize. Anybody that's listening, I must apologize. Because we're going to talk about Dragon Ball Evolution. So, you remember Bone?
Where's the mute button?
He's going there. Hold on. I need to get some popcorn for this one. I'm glad he didn't include me in this call out.
You remember Bulma in Dragon Ball Evolution and she had blue hair in the anime? She has blue hair and they put a blue strand of hair in her.
I'm going to be honest with you, Nineball. I saw the first 20 seconds of Dragon Ball Evolution and immediately turned it off. That's how bad it was.
I watched it with family. My brother-in-law brought it over, like Dragon Ball Evolution and the Legend of Chun-Li.
I actually finished Legend of Chun-Li. I watched that one all the way through, which
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I know that they had the guy from the Black Eyed Peas as Vega.
The only Street Fighter I ever remembered is probably the animes. And the 1994 one with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rod Julia.
You know who Vega is from Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, the dude with the claw.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. He had the I can't remember what nationality is, so I'm gonna butcher this, but like the Indian Asian guy or whatever, that's from Black Eyed Peas, not Will I Am and not Fergie, but the other one. There's three of them. It literally was him. He was Vega. Yeah, it was very interesting. Proceed.
Why? 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 Why do that?
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they have the images, but they don't have the concept as to why it's there. Having the idea as to why these things happen is just as important. In Silent Hill's history of gaming have gone up and down. Up and down. Basically, Silent Hill 1, 2, 3, and 4 were pretty good. I played Downpour. That one was alright. That one wasn't too bad. You played as an escape escaped inmate. You was being transported and your bus, you know, tips over and you kind of get stuck in Silent Hill with a police officer looking for you. The other one, I think you played as a war vet coming home. Homecoming, yeah. But then they went to like pachinko machines and whatever the heck that dungeon crawler Silent Hill was on a PlayStation Vita. I just hope that they do it justice. I mean, when it comes out and they do the remakes of Part 1 and Part 2, Part 2 just needs more graphical updates than anything. Because that's probably the most iconic one is Part 2. Because that's where almost everything comes from. Pyramid Head and all that. And I don't want to spoil it because I know they're working on it, but it's a really good story behind it. There's multiple endings and each ending affects why you're there. It's a very good game. Very good story. And it was one of the best ones. Silent Hill 1 was a good also. And I don't want to spoil the end of that one because I know they're remaking it. But I'm really excited actually to see this. If they do it right, I'm going to keep my expectations high for this one. So Konami, give us a Silent Hill and give us a good one.
Mildewy, do you have any commentary on this?
And huh?
I said Mildewy, do you have any commentary on this?
Can't wait. You know, it's been a long time coming and we needed it, so.
Is Silent Hill multiplayer?
No.
Okay, no.
I'm not touching it.
No, Silent Hill has never been multiplayer. You got to realize what it is. Silent Hill is not so much. Silent Hill is considered what is known as psychological horror. Most things that manifest in Silent Hill is directly the sins of the person will manifest. So creatures represent problems of the person. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I have no comment on it. Not to cut you off there, Mildew, if you have more to elaborate on that, but I personally don't have any more. I have no interest in this at all whatsoever. There's a small sliver of chance if it was multiplayer, but confirming that it's never been and probably never will be, there's no chance of me ever picking this up.
I mean, I would like to see it be multiplayer for sure. I think you could. Do it. I wouldn't mind it, but it'd probably be one of those Ghost of Tsushima things, Nine Ball. You know, like you can have like a side step, not like of the main story characters that you're going through as, but like it's like maybe someone else coming into it. But
have you seen the main characters of Silent Hill 2?
No,
they were all pretty messed up.
Oh yeah, sounds like a little party time, man.
Everybody was. I mean, it was only one person. I think it was one person that didn't really have problems. The rest of them all had pretty bad problems.
Think about it this way, though, Nine Ball. It's a difficulty level. So depending upon which person you're playing as, it increases the difficulty or changes the aspect of the story because of whatever problems they've had. You know? It throws in those different and makes those changes in the game right then and there, depending upon who you're playing as. So if you do up to four players and you have, like, four different people, you know, depending upon whatever cast that you throw in there, you could have, like, three people with different stuff, and then it's like you then throw in those elements into the game and mix them together. And maybe some of them cross. Maybe some are like the same, you know, like, and just strengthen that zone. You know, maybe it's like, you know, oh, you're just a bunch of plus ones, but now it's like it's a plus five area. It's like, what the truck, you know? So there's that option. I'm just excited that they're bringing it back because it's such a good franchise and I want to see them kind of complete and go through with it because there was a lot there. And I feel like they could definitely, especially nowadays with the technology we've got and the capabilities, you know, calling out Phasmophobia,
Ghost Takes Island, a bunch of the other games where it deals with sort of, you know, I mean, those are actual ghosts, not like actual personal demons, but they've got the capabilities of making these games extremely good. So,
oh, definitely.
So I can't wait to see what they do and come out with. So we'll have to wait and see. Yes, Malachi.
So not exactly Silent Hill related. Not exactly Silent Hill related, but Mildew, you said something that I think would be a really cool video game concept if more developers adapted this inside their games when it has like plot lines. If you play a game, I'm just going to throw a random name out there. Let's say it's called Renegade, right? Play a game called Renegade. By yourself. No. It's just a random game. You're playing a game and it's story driven and you're playing one player and you're from beginning to end, you're playing from this one person's point of view, right? But then the minute you bring two players in there, you're not that same person that you were playing as you were one player. You're now two different people in that same universe kind of going through another plot line. But if you want to make it three player, you're no longer that first person. You're no longer the couple that you're with. Now you're three friends or something like that in that same universe going through some other different plot line that way. And then same thing for four players. I think that would be very interesting because that will be, again, give you new... It's not like, oh, I know what happens now because I beat it on single player. Like, no, it's like, I don't know what happens because we haven't gone through this together. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be very, very interesting if there is like some sort of game formula that can actually do something like that.
There actually is, and I almost forgot, it's actually on a Silent Hill game. Silent Hill Shattered Memories. This is one of the remakes, if I'm not mistaken. From what I'm understanding, because I never really got a chance to touch it, Silent Hill Shattered Memories gameplay would change depending on what you said, what you did throughout the game. Because throughout the game, you play like any of the Dark Pictures anthology.
Well, and that was actually going to be my point there. Is I think the closest we can get to that is part of the like Little Hope. And Madame Dan and stuff like that.
It was that, you know, that part in between, like when you would have that interview with the person before you begin the next chapter. They had something like that in Silent Hill Shattered Memories, where you'd be talking to like a therapist, and throughout the game, it would change based on answers given to said questions or certain reactions and stuff.
Well, but even with that, though, you're still that same person throughout the entire game. It's just that the story itself would change, right?
The story and how some of the creatures probably would react.
See, because what I'm talking about is, like, if I'm one player, then I'm me. I'm Flash. But if I decide to start the game two players, Flash is not even in the game for the two players. It is Nineball and Mildewy, and they're going through this plot line. That's different than Flash's plot line going through it separately. You know what I mean? And then so on and so forth.
To some extent, what you're explaining is somewhat kind of like, I want to say Dead Space 3 had two players, but theirs was basically, you would play as perspective, one person would play as the perspective of Isaac Clarke, and the other person would play as, I can't remember the other guy's name, the other guy. And throughout the mission, you will see if you play the second character, you would have to do the other guy's objectives that you didn't see him do off screen.
That's somewhat of what I'm talking about now. That's still like in the same ballpark. What I'm talking about is still even different than that, but I do like stuff like that to where because you have a second player with you, you're seeing more behind the scenes of what that character was doing during the time period that this character was doing something. I think that'd be really cool if more video games were to adapt something like that inside of it. And it could be action-based. It could be story-driven, almost like Quantum Dreams and stuff. I would like to have some more stuff like that. That would be really cool.
It would be interesting. Silent Hill, when you come to think of it, now that I'm thinking of it, would be interesting. Like I said, the world itself, you have because I know you've never played Silent Hill before. The fog world of Silent Hill adapts to the person. This is probably why it's one of the most, like, scariest worlds out there that you would not want to be in. It basically, in the fog world, it basically adjusts to your trauma. Whatever messed you up, you're going to have to deal with again in different forms, over and over again. To either you go mad and kill yourself, or the creatures kill you. Or you manage to get out of there in some way.
That sounds quite the journey. Story number three. That's a fun one here. CD Projekt Red is going full throttle. Ryan Dinsdale from IGN says this in the article. CD Projekt Red appears to be ramping up its development capabilities in a big way as it presents, as it prepares for Cyberpunk 2077 sequel, codenamed Orion, as it looks to create a new studio and put hundreds of staff on the project. Speaking during an investors call after announcing Orion alongside with several Witcher games, CD Projekt Red CFO, Peter Neil Lubowitzki. I'm just going to say PN. Because that's I cannot pronounce that. Said he expects 350 to 500 developers will be necessary to create the game. It also it's also creating a brand new, primarily Boston-based studio in Orion, which will be combined with current Vancouver office and known as CD Projekt Red North America. Quote, the North American studio will consist of teams working from Boston and the team working from Vancouver, and said, and the project will also be supported by developers from Poland. He continued, as for the total headcount required for such a production, I believe the best reference is Cyberpunk 2077, our most recent release, and a good reference point when I think about developing the headcount and future projects of this scale. I think it's safe to assume that between 350 and 500 developers should be required. End quote, end story. So, there is the hype. There was the Cyberpunk could do no wrong. Then there was the release, which proves Cyberpunk did do wrong. Then we had all this time period in between, Cyberpunk trying to work on things on the back end, trying to get it up and going, all that good stuff. And then we have the slow uptick, and then bam, Edgerunners came out, which I did go see, by the way. I finished watching Edgerunners, by the way, over this weekend, actually. And then that spiked a lot of sales going up. Where we're at right now, first and foremost, I know you beat Cyberpunk 2077, right, Nightball?
Yep.
Did you beat it, Mildewy?
I'm still stuck in side missions, so not yet.
Okay, so I'm still towards the very beginning. So we're at three different areas of the game, which is actually kind of a cool, interesting place to be at. But I want to ask everybody here, are we excited for a Cyberpunk 2077 2, if you will? Is that something we're looking forward to at this point in time?
I guess I'll go. In the chat thing, I put in the gamers thing on that. They kind of went into that, and they talked about the backstory and all that to it, which I thought was kind of interesting, but it's pretty straightforward with that one. This is going to be interesting because they have DLC coming out. Really, I want to see how they handle the DLC.
Well, that's the thing. They really have plans for more. And, well, you know, I'll wait my turn. Go ahead.
They have, well, in there, because I watched a video about that. When I watched that video, they're really scrapping that entire engine. Yes. The engine that they use to make Cyberpunk. Right now, they have one DLC. And there's a reason why I want to see how they do the DLC. The DLC is going to show a lot. I want to see if they learn their lesson, because this is not... Very few people have a chance twice. And like they talked about in the gamers thing, which if you get a chance, highly watch it. It's gamers with a V. It's GVMERS for their YouTube page. If you get a chance, watch it. They really suffered a lot of hits. The stocks dropped. I mean, they went virtually overnight from one of the top ranked Polish industries and went down to almost an all-time low overnight. Actually, they said the group that does the, what is that, Dying Light is now the top Polish studio now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they lost a lot of respect with the people, and right now they're pretty much kind of on eggshells with them. Even though they're working on a new one, I feel like they should do really good on this one, but I'm going to wait and see more of it. I'm glad that the two top people stepped down. A lot of them did take responsibility because it was their fault. They got paid and got out.
That's what happened. They got paid and got out.
They milked the cow and took it all home. And
well, no, they didn't. They destroyed the cow is the problem. And for CD Projekt Red, this is not a good thing because here goes the thing. You get money. You can either get money now or later. When your reputation is destroyed like that, you actually lose more money than what you will gain. Because you kill your future reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why they're leaving now. It's because they don't. They can't handle. They don't want to stick around for something that's probably not going to recover as well as they would want it to. You know.
They may and may even do better. I feel like because they took a lot of hits, like they talked about in there. They got multiple lawsuits, which they had to settle out of money out of court for a couple, like I think a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of returns, but they overall it still did well, and like you said, it did. Boosted by what they call the Netflix effect. Where a movie or a show will come out on Netflix about it and it hypes interest in it. Them putting it on sale frequently also helped out the game.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is really for them. I don't feel like they're going to try to mess this one up. Here goes the thing. At this point, you're pretty much tilting on the edge. And basically, CD Projekt Red is not a well-established EA where they can do like multiple FIFAs and all these other games, FIFA,
Maddens
and stuff, may be trash. Star Wars, and you can do trash versions of them and you just keep re-releasing them. Number two, they do have a Dragon Age alumni on the team now that was doing the patching and stuff.
Yeah, you
did tell. Great for Witcher. Yeah.
No, he didn't do Witcher. I know.
I'm just saying, if he's on the team in general, obviously he was fixing Cyberpunk and all that good stuff. But if he on the next Witcher, if they put him on it, that'd be great for that because those.
They're definitely.
Go ahead.
Oh no, you're going ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say those decisions from Dragon Age. Like I still marvel to this day about all the decisions. I love every single decision that was on Dragon Age 1 through Inquisition.
And the thing about Cyberpunk that was sad is basically the core story was good. The foundational story and stuff was good. It was just the bugs was out of control. And especially them trying to go backwards and forwards. That's the reason why the DLC is only made for PlayStation 5.
And Xbox Series X.
Xbox Series X. Okay, I always get confused on Xbox
because they don't know what numbers are. X1.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said,
I don't know.
With that being said, I think that the X and S will both have the DLC. It just won't be the Xbox One because that's technically last gen. Xbox S is still next gen, which is current gen. Yeah. It's just not as powerful as the X.
Yeah, the last gen, they said the 8th gens won't have them. So the PlayStation 4, whatever Xbox equivalent was back there.
Xbox.
The only other one that won't have it is Stadia.
That won't be around.
But for me, this is, for them, I feel like they're going to put extra time into it. This is a huge chance of redemption. Yeah. You drop the ball again, and to be honest, you're basically falling into oblivion. And you will go from hero all the way to, just gone. Ain't nobody gonna believe you no more.
So it's not zero to hero, it's hero to zero? Is that what you're saying?
It's zero to hero. Then, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically at this point, they went from hero to zero. Now they gotta go back to hero.
Real fast, before we go, because I wanted to kind of do the order on this. Nightball, have you seen Edgerunner all the way through?
Not all the way through.
Okay.
But I need to finish watching it.
Mildew, have you finished Edgerunner all the way through? Okay. So I'll go last because I watched Edgerunner.
I know the concept, kind of, like the ending concept. Some people have spoiled it, and unfortunately, just looking around the internet, screws everything over. But
yeah,
I haven't
gone into it. Sorry. And no, you're good. I think that if it was spoiled for you, I don't know if Edge Runner is going to be as good now that you know what's going on, to be completely honest with you, now that I think about it. But I'll let you go first as far as, like, before me, as far as the Orion rumor or discussion for Cyberpunk 2077-2. What are your thoughts about this? I want to end it since I watched Edge Runner all the way through and have something to say about that.
I mean, I would definitely like to have one, just because the whole concept and story of Cyberpunk, it's just fantastic. The world is amazing. The story is really good. The endings, from what I hear, are like all over the place. So, it definitely can, give us a bit more, including like how they do it. And Nineball is kind of right. Like, with this Project Liberty, I kind of want to see what they're going to do with it. You know, because I feel like Project Liberty is going to be like one of those ones that Nineball, like, if you already completed the story, like, I'll probably pull you back before the ending one and have you do it and then go to the ending of Cyberpunk. Because it just feels like that offset of kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn did with their DLC, The Frozen Wild, is that you had the DLC, but it's like if you already beat the game, like you go back before the ending of the game point to go to that zone to complete it and then come back and do the ending. So I feel like it's of that aspect again as well. I would still like to see, though, Cyberpunk 2, because I feel like it could become, like, almost in a way, if they do it well enough and they do it right, it could almost be in a way similar to like Dragon Age and Mass Effect. Really good story, really good world, a lot of good choices that you could choose from and play through and just like kind of customize your characters as you're going through this point. Now, whether or not you're going to still have V in the second one or not, I don't know. We'll have to see. That'd be very interesting to find out, you know? So I am very interested in this aspect, but I would have to wait till they gave us more definitive details and explanations on what they're doing, you know?
I definitely understand that. And I, again, as for someone that hasn't beat Cyberpunk, and this is kind of where the Edge Runner knowledge is, like, as for me, that I already, I think I said this before, I don't know if I said it on stream, but I know I said this before, but I finished Edge Runner. I thought it was really good. I understand that. I thought it was really good. I still don't understand, like, if it was at full price, I don't understand how that 12 episode series had caused people to be like, yo, I gotta go ahead and pick up this $60 game that I heard is now starting to get better. I don't get that hype. Again, I'm more interested to play Cyberpunk more than ever because I already own it. I was already interested from before, but it was more like just sitting on my shelf, just kind of collecting dust. But then after watching Edge Runner, it brings it back towards the forefront. And I'm like, all right, I actually do want to go and get back into this now and start, maybe even start all the way over and just go ahead and get reintroduced to Jackie on that, all that stuff, kind of live in Night City. So I like that. The Edge Runner was like a prequel to that. Also, they definitely tug on like the emotional strings in Edge Runner a lot, which I won't spoil for anybody. I know it's been a little bit spoiled for you there, Mildewy, but there's some emotional stuff that happens in there, and it's just like, ah, oh, all right, you're making me care about these characters. Okay, I get it. And then
about them a lot.
And then, but then, like, going inside, like right now where I'm at, like, I do want a Cyberpunk 2. Mainly for the simple fact of the matter is this. Some of the DLC that they had roadmapped initially before everything went to Cluster F, if you will, like, it literally was, they were going to implement a multiplayer feature in that. I was excited to pretty much be GTA with my buddies in Night City. I was very excited for that. That's one of the core reasons why I got Cyberpunk. And now to know that they're not doing that. You know what I mean? Like that was something that I was just like, all right, that kind of sucks. But they do Cyberpunk 2077-2, which I know is codename Orion, then those elements, those other DLCs that was going to be happening after this last DLC that's no longer happening, can show up inside Orion now.
I'll give you a little hint about something. Actually, they have released the modding tools. And you're like, okay, what does that got to do with anything?
Yeah. It doesn't do anything for me because I'm on console.
But you remember what happened with Skyrim, where now they have an online version. Mm. this actually started eons ago on as a mod. So it may could still happen for Cyberpunk. It just might be a bit way little ways down the road.
Hey,
what's up, little man?
We got the junior streamer on.
Hi,
Vera.
Say what up.
What up?
What's up?
Spill my drink on me. And no, it's not alcoholic. It's just water. I ran out of water bottles.
Okay, sure. We believe you.
You can smell it. Smell it. You smell that, you smell the chlorine and all the tap in that?
Smells like chemicals.
Hi, Barry.
Exactly. Hi. Smells like a sewage.
Hi, Barry. Plant.
What's up, Malika? How's it going?
He can't hear y'all because you guys are in my headset, but yeah, they're saying hi. Kai, they're saying hi.
Well, the voice is in your dad's head.
Yeah, they're saying hi.
All
right. Whisper. All right,
go on, mommy.
Whisper.
Oh, wait. Pick up your foot. Pick up your foot.
The other foot.
Yeah. Go, mommy. Go, mommy. Let's take off my shoes first.
He's like, I gotta take my shoes off first. That's mom's there carpet. She beat me if I don't. My parents did. All
right. I was about to say that. Yeah, so with that being said, a lot of the DL stuff that I was looking forward to, long term, like again, the multiplayer stuff and all that stuff. And it, again, like, I know that for Cyberpunk 2077, we're not getting that. This last DLC is it, and that's it. And that's fine. That's fine, because I know that the actual base story of Cyberpunk 2077 as it is already great. It was just hindered by the actual production of the product. And that was the problem that everyone had a problem with. They wanted to love this game. They just couldn't, because every 15, 20, 30 minutes to an hour, it would just lag or kick them off or whatever. Sometimes it wouldn't even actually load in anything. It was just a whole development mess. So I get why they're not doing that for this one, but for Cyberpunk Orion, if they were to introduce more of like a something like that, more multiplayer stuff, more and still have choices matter even when you're playing with your friends and all that good stuff, maybe even betray one of your buddies or something like that if you rolled that way or whatever. Like, I think it would be a very interesting GTA style concept that would be more of a first person cyberpunk futuristic setting. I do have one question for you guys. Yeah, you're 100% good. But I do have one question for you guys concerning this Project Orion. Do you think it's still going to take place in Night City?
It could.
I'd say I don't know if it will, because, I mean, they talk about Night City. That's like the huge highlight and stuff like that. But then when you go outside of Night City, you have like the wasteland and everything. But if you think about Edge Runners, which, again, I know you guys haven't, watch all of Edge Runners, but if you think about Edge Runners, one of the main characters came from another place that wasn't even Night City.
Yeah, probably San Domenico.
I can't remember. Go ahead, Mildred.
I was gonna say, like, there's definitely if you kind of remember the lore, even just start off, there's different factions and groupings and all there.
Yeah, it's so
you do have the capability. And it, to be honest, it kind of reminds me of Dragon Age in this point of the way. It's like you've got a massive map of like Ferelda and all that. You know, it's also like you Mass Effect, where it's like you got this whole universe. So they've got this world built of this like this post-apocalyptic, revived, cybernetic, world that they can take you from Night City where this occurred and take you to a different city, because you got to remember, you got the nomads that go between cities and all. They drive between
the Alcado. I can't remember their name.
There's different tribes, and I can't remember. I know the Serpent was one that you had to help destroy, and there's a couple others. So you've got the capability of having different cities that you can go to and be a part of. Now, is Night City the biggest one? I think that's the biggest area where this all took place. But especially from what I've been reading from some lore and all, like, there's different areas with different stuff going on. And I think there's some back lore with some of the stuff that occurs and a lot of the side missions that you can do that kind of hints to maybe something else coming or can be occurring, too, in this world of Cyberpunk. So I'm actually very interested, and I'm not going to spoil anything, because I was reading through some lore on the game that my run through, I was playing, because I'm doing a deep run where I'm playing like all of the side missions and all, trying to get through a lot of the stuff. And there's some stuff that's popped up that's just kind of like been very interesting to hear. So I am curious, like I said, to see going forward what they do with this game and all. But they do have that capability of making this a larger world in terms of like where you go or start at, you know, another city place, and then you'll maybe tie them together again later on. You come back to it. You know, I'm interested to see what routes they take.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited to see what this is going to happen. And like I said, as far as for me, like kind of getting that cyberpunk flame reignited, I'm excited about that. I just need to have more time to sit there and just play and just be able to commit to a full 8 hours or whatever and just play as much as I can, as far as I can, or even just breaking it up so I could get to the end game content of Cyberpunk. Because I do think that is a great game story-driven wise. I'm very interested in that. I'm very interested in how free and how much choice there is in the game. I just was really looking forward to that multiplayer, so I was pretty bummed to hear that.
It is kind of, but it is. Some ways it may be a bit better other than them trying to force it in there.
Oh, yeah, no, at this point, leave it out. Like, I don't want them to put it in there now. That was a selling point for me as far as someone that likes to play my friends. I wanted to jump inside that world and literally have a GTA experience in Night City and being able to do what you can do in Night City that you can't do in other games or whatever. So
maybe they'll make a Cyberpunk Online, you know?
They might. That'd be very interesting.
The backstory to Cyberpunk starts off, it was actually a pen and paper game.
Yeah, we know. You told us this when we were talking originally.
Like I said, if you watch that whole, they actually show the guy that made the pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
They talked to him about that before they actually made the game. But I mean, I hope they do well. I mean, I'm hoping.
I think they're doing well, and I think that they know what they have to do. As you said, they're like right on the edge. I think that Witcher 4 is going to be fantastic. I think that Cyberpunk, whatever the Orion codename actually ends up being, is going to be fantastic because they know they have no room for error. And if it takes them 15 years to go ahead and get it right, they'll take that time because they're forever is going to be reminded of the stain on their reputation, which is Cyberpunk. How that actually launched. Obviously, it's a redemption story like now, but it shouldn't have ever been that way in the first place. They should have left last gen behind and focus on current gen. That's what they should have done. And that really bit them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Malachi's upstairs doing all these roars and stuff, so it's kind of funny. A couple fun ones for you guys real fast. Just throwing it out there for you is the Bayonetta switch up. Ryan Leston from IGN says Bayonetta voice actress Helen Taylor won't be returning on for Bayonetta 3. A statement from Platinum Games to Game Informer via Nintendo Everything has confirmed that Taylor, who has voiced Bayonetta in the first two games, won't be back. Quote, various overlapping circumstances made it difficult for Helen Taylor to reprise her role, end quote, they confirmed. Quote, we held auditions to cast new voice of Bayonetta and offered the role to Jennifer Hale, whom we felt was a good match
for the character.
Yeah, end quote, end story for that one. So, yeah, so there, anyone that was really, really, like,
loving that. I believe she does the female Master Chief. I mean, female Shepherd. Yes.
Female Master Chief. What mod are you using on Halo there, Nineball?
There's actually a female girl on there. On Halo.
I know.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Jennifer Hale is going to be the one that's going to be the new Bayonetta main character for that one. Fun one number two. We like big numbers, and I cannot lie. Parth Bhargarya from GamerRant says in the article. PS5 shipments appeared to have improved dramatically in the U.S. when compared to last year. The PlayStation 5 console was officially released in November 2020, but many aspiring customers have yet to own the system. Many electronic industries have been hit by the ongoing chip shortage, and gaming consoles are no exception. Every time a PS5 is in stock, it gets sold out almost immediately, irrespective of whether it's digital-only version or the more expensive console with the Blu-ray disc drive. As a result, some users have resorted to buying the PS5 from scalpers for an amount above the market price. Which is stupid, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. But anyway, some players likely got tired of waiting for the console to be readily available and ultimately had to get it from a scalper playing the PS5 exclusives or next-gen version of the latest games. However, it looks like PS5 supply issues may be a thing of the past. David Gibson confirms that PS5 stock improved by 400% over year over year, with some of the inventory going into God of War Ragnarok's launch next month. So there you go. So if you guys are having a hard time getting a PS5, which again, I'll still say by my statement, if you don't have one now, you weren't trying hard enough. That's all I got to say. But yeah, it shouldn't be that much harder moving forward. So if you guys are trying to get yourself a PS5 this holiday season, it might be a little bit more manageable. I still wouldn't wait until the holiday because everything in that general time period gets a little hectic, especially if you're trying to have it shipped to you. Forget about that. You'll have porch pirates just waiting there for you. You know what I mean? You might as well just go inside the store and try to have your luck trying to get one, or what?
Speaking of porch pirates, apparently they're practicing now by stealing pumpkins off of porches.
I don't get it. Yeah, just
I don't either. I've heard about it. And I'm like, what, bro? Steam sale, like literally a couple of games are already on there for like $1 to $3. Download Steam for free on your PC. Pull up the game, play it, and just do something more beneficial to life than ruining others. Come on.
Speaking of Steam, if
you're playing Master Duel, you can actually, you know, ruin other people's lives there too. But you know, that's just normal trolling.
Speaking right, of Steam, Nineball? What up, Doc? Yeah. Story number three. Fun one number three. Chris Holt from Engadget says this in the article. If you've been waiting for Valve to release its delayed Steam Deck dock instead of opting for a third-party version, there's some good news. The company has opened up pre-orders. The Steam Deck docking station, as the unit is officially known, costs $89. While you can hook up the Steam Deck to an external display directly, the dock should make life a little easier if you want to play the games on a bigger screen. You can simply use it as a charging station as well. The dock has three USB A 3.1 Gen 1 ports, but you can connect peripherals to your Steam Deck wirelessly too. It has a gigabyte Ethernet port, which could help you download games faster. As for connecting your Steam Deck to external displays, the dock displays port 1.4 and HDMI 2.4 ports. There's a pass-through USB-C charging ports too. So I guess, we were talking about this off-stream, but I guess the official Steam Deck dock is delayed. And it's going to be like, so this is going to be the next best thing to get right now if you're not wanting to wait for that. So there you have it.
But no, the official, like I said, the official one's out.
It says on here, if you've been waiting for the Valve to release the delayed Steam Deck dock instead
of opting for the ordered one.
This came out today. This literally came out today from Engadget.
I just ordered one last night. Like,
it's on its way to you?
Yeah.
You're one in a million, then, I guess.
They released it. It's actually on the page. They said they released it, and then as soon as it comes in, it gets a day one update.
Don't kill the gaming messenger. That's all I got to say.
No, I'm just going to save file.
Also, from what I'm understanding, too, the Steam Dock no longer has to it no longer has to hold anymore, so you don't have to go in a queue anymore if you want to order a Steam Deck.
Yeah, you can just buy it outright.
Yeah, you can buy it from the thing and they're going to ship it. Yeah, it's right here. I'm looking at it.
Hey, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's the news that I was able to pull from Engadget. If you have a problem, take it up with the person that wrote it. Let me go ahead and restate his name so you can go with him with your pitchforks and torches. Let me see this. Where are you
at? Rambles already marching.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It was Chris Holt. So go yell Chris Holt. Spelled with a K. K-R-I-S.
Don't do that.
Get on his social media, you know? I'm just telling you what he wrote.
Let me see. View shipping details. Yeah, they're packaging it now.
All right. There you go. Sorry, Chris Holt. Nineball says you're wrong.
Yeah, and I ordered it on the 8th of October. It immediately showed up, and I ordered it.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been our All Things Gaming episode 36, season 2 of All Things Gaming for October 11, 2022. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. This week, we're going to try one last time, the college try, for me to try to scream Monster Hunter World Iceborne with the fellas here, trying to get through that. I did uninstall the game. I reinstalled it. We'll try it again. If it gives me the error again.
Try beforehand, and then we'll let you know.
Well, that was the thing, though. We tried. I was playing the game with you guys beforehand, before we started streaming, working fine. After streaming, about like an hour in, hour and a half in, it dropped.
Then it's your stream.
But that shouldn't be the case, though, because, again, I have upgraded internet. So I don't understand what's happening there.
You upgraded it. Doesn't mean it was installed right. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, all I'm saying is that they came out here. They should be faster. Should be work. Be able to handle more. So we'll take a look at that. I might, if it continues being an issue, I might just have to go back to what I originally had, because it wasn't an issue then. But yeah, so we're gonna try to take another crack at it. If it fails, then we're just gonna have to not do the SINs on Thursdays for a little bit. At least not with that particular title. If it happens with other titles, then obviously we'll have to readdress that situation. This Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is going to be our Monster Hunter World Iceborne playthrough again, as we get further in that. Nothing this Saturday. Pending if we're even going to have a 9-to-5 this month. Because it's going to look a little busy towards the tail end of October. But we'll see. Maybe a little Halloween stream there on the 29th. We'll see. So we'll kind of go from there. And then next Tuesday is going to be our All Things Gaming. We're back here at 6 p.m. again, Eastern Standard Time. Having a good time hanging out with us. A little shout out there too as well. Not ALWT Gaming related. But this Friday, the 14th, Kinda Funny Games is going to be having their stream. They're entering their studio. They just purchased a studio a while back in 2019. 2020 came around, and United States, it had to hit COVID. So they couldn't go inside the studios. Everything's working from home. So now here we are, fast forwarding 2 years later. They're entering their studio this Friday. And it's just going to be like a celebration stream. They're bringing all these special guests on there and everything like that. I think they're doing like a 12-hour stream day. So if you guys are going to pop in there, again, go to kindoffunnygames.com. Or Kinda Funny Games Daily, anything like that. Kinda Funny, pretty much. You guys could be able to check them out. It'll be very interesting to see what their new studio is going to be like, what their new setup is going to be looking like, and going from there. But yeah, that's it, everybody. I am Malachi 36. This is It's Nine Ball and Mill Dewey Carrot. It is your season. Until next time, everybody. Control Alt.
I'm complete.